Hey everyone, welcome in to another edition of the Wobcast. I'm your host, Mike Wobshaw. Producer Nate Vaughn is here, and here is TCO Studios at Winter Park. Hope you all had a Merry Christmas. Hope it's a happy holiday season for everyone. Week 17 and the season finale are here. Unfortunately, they are one in the same. Not the way we wanted it, but here it is. And we are here because the Vikings lost in Lambeau Field last Saturday, Christmas Eve day, and that eliminated the Vikings from playoff contention and set up what will be a difficult game to watch for us on Sunday night, an NFC North championship game between the Packers and the Lions. This is the game the Vikings played in last season in Week 17 at Lambeau Field. This year's edition will happen at Ford Field in Detroit with the Lions and the Packers battling it out. Now, if the Vikings win on Sunday, it'll give the Vikings an 8-8 record. It would actually be a pretty significant win for people in this building because the people in this building are charged with building toward next year, tearing down 2016 and building up toward 2017. No better way to do that than beating a division rival and avoiding a season sweep from that rival because the Vikings lost in Week 8 on Halloween at Soldier Field to this Bears team. So let's talk about this game that's coming up and the week that was for the Vikings. Nate Vaughn and I will go through some of the talking points from the week. Nate, I know you've got some sound ready to go for these. We'll start with rave reviews for Sam Bradford and Mike Zimmer. Did you hear what Coach Zimmer said about Sam this week?
He said a lot of very nice things.
Yes. He does not heap praise on people for sport.
No, he certainly does not.
So when he does it, it really means something. And he was asked about a lot of things at his press conference earlier in the week, and he basically said, "I'm going to reserve public comment on that until, we get past the season." Except, he didn't do that with Sam Bradford. He was very complimentary of Sam Bradford. Here's what Coach Zimmer had to say about his starting quarterback.
Sam arrived with some questions, but are you pleased with the way that Sam Bradford has played this season?
Yeah, I think, honestly, if you sat back and looked at all the things, being traded and trying to learn a new system, having a new coach, having to learn teammates, all these things that he's had to deal with, injuries on offense, I thought he's done an unbelievable job. He's got a chance to break a NFL record for completion percentage. His quarterback rating is the highest it's been in his career. Maybe this is the best year he's ever had. So, if you put all those together and look at the things that he's had to deal with, I think he's been amazing.
The NFL record that Coach Zimmer referenced is the single-season completion percentage record, which is held by Drew Brees, who actually has the first and second best single season completion percentage of all time, but the best is 71.2%. I believe it was 2011 when Drew did that. Entering Sunday's season finale, Bradford is ahead of that pace. He's at 71.3%, so 0.1% ahead of that. He's completed 370 of 519 passes on the year. 71.3% for Sam Bradford. He's going to try and set that NFL record in the game against the Bears. The game against the Bears has no playoff implications. We are eliminated. It's very easy to be negative about that, Nate. It feels like an avalanche of negativity here as we end the season. High expectations for our club after going 11-5 last year and then opening up 5-0 on this season. Unfortunately, we've gone 2-8 in the last 10 games. There's reason for optimism, though, and I got this from something that Coach Zimmer said earlier in the week as well. Here it is.
It's things like that we're heading ball games at the end and we didn't win. Fourth quarter, we're heading games, whereas a year ago, that's what we did. And that's the difference in all the teams. And, Shug and I were talking this morning. You look at the teams, that were in the Super Bowl last year, or NFC Championship game, or whoever, and they've had disappointing years as well. But the teams that maintain and sustain the things that they've done, those are the teams that I have to look at even more and find out why they're sustaining good things as opposed to what we did this year.
Now, when you hear the head coach break it down that way, it makes me feel that he has an understanding of how things change in the league and what needs to be fixed. And I think that that's something that you can hold on to going into the offseason. This is a quarterback and coach league, Nate. And I think there is confidence in the head coach. And obviously the quarterback is coming off a great season. So from that aspect of it, quarterback and coach league, you know, the Vikings have reason to be optimistic heading into the offseason, don't you think?
Yeah, I think so. And even if you look at this season compared to like last season, a lot of things went our way. A lot of it is because of our own doing.
Mm-hmm.
But it's crazy how big of a difference you can end up with in the end when you get a few lucky bounces here or there, won a game even.
Yep.
You know, that could be three or four losses or wins if it bounces the other way. So.
And we're going to get into more of that later on in this Wobcast with Stat of the Week. Before we get to that, though, let's talk about these Chicago Bears, the team we're going to play on Sunday. Do you remember the Halloween game?
I do. Tried to forget it, but I remember it.
It was not fun. Now, Pat Shurmur, our offensive coordinator, was not the offensive coordinator for that game, but he's our offensive coordinator now. And Shurmur his role was tight ends coach at that time. So his players at that time were responsible for blocking the Bears' defensive front, at least for helping in blocking it. And it sounds like Coach Shurmur has a lot of respect for the Bears' defensive front even today.
When you look at the Bears, and again, remembering back to when we played them, they've got an outstanding front seven. They're big. They're physical. When it's time to throw the ball, they're excellent at pass rushing.
Does Hicks still move around like he did in that first game? I know he had a sack over the nose. He had a sack there.
Yeah, he's a force inside. You know, they certainly have, you know, McPhee and Young on the edges, and then he's become a real force inside, which makes their front, you know, very challenging. He's had an outstanding year, and he moves around well. He's got a heck of a lot of tackles, and he can pass rush as well.
In case you didn't catch it, the player that Coach Shurmur was asked about during his press conference earlier in the week was Akeem Hicks. It's Hicks, McPhee, Willie Young, and Leonard Floyd up front that are really wreaking havoc for opposing teams. Now, McPhee and Floyd are on the injury report and may not play this week. But if they do, they're going to be a handful for the Vikings offensive line and for the Vikings tight ends and backs. Last game versus the Bears, Pernell McPhee had a sack and a forced fumble. Hicks had two sacks, two TFLs, and one pass breakup. And Leonard Floyd had one sack. So all those guys were productive against us, and that's why the Vikings coaching staff has so much respect for them.
All right, Wobby, now let's talk about the stat of the week
mm-hmm.
that you teased earlier, that I accidentally sort of teased.
Okay.
But you actually teased.
Right. What is it?
Well, funny you should ask.
Yeah.
Stat of the week is that the Vikings are 2-4 in games decided by 6 points or less this season.
And why is that significant?
That's significant because if you look at those same scenarios last year, the Vikings were 4-2.
Ha ha. And therein lies the difference in these two seasons. So even after missing or losing Teddy Bridgewater, Adrian Peterson, Matt Khalil, Andre Smith, Sharif Floyd, Mike Zimmer for a game, Norv resigning, Plain Gate in Green Bay, after all these things happen and you think it's insurmountable that we could do anything right at all, the difference comes down to games decided by 6 points or less and a two-game swing from last year to this year. Do you think two games would make a difference for us right now?
Yeah, safe to say it probably would.
It puts you at 9 wins going into the final week, able to get to 10, which would get you in the playoffs in the NFC. And so I just think that that's an interesting dichotomy, I guess, when you compare the two seasons. I mean, it felt like so much went right last year and so much went wrong this year, and the seasons couldn't be any further apart than they are. And the fact is, they're very similar seasons. It came down to close games and clutch moments and the ball not going or not bouncing our way this year when it did last year. And the difference was 2 games. 4-2 last year in games decided by 6 points or less. 2-4 this year. I think the one that sticks in my craw the most is the home game against Detroit.
Yeah. Yeah, I'd agree with that. And even the game at Detroit.
Yeah. You know. Right. As time was going off the clock. Yeah. Super annoying. And then, you know, we had to go home to special Thanksgiving and our families and all, you know, whom we love. But mm-hmm. then we had to rehash the game with them. You know, it was just terrible. Yeah. I didn't like that.
No.
But anyway, that stat tells you that the line between winning and losing in the NFL is razor thin.
All right, next player we should be talking about. I don't know if you've heard about this, but Adam Thielen has had a pretty good season.
I have heard a little bit about it.
Yeah, and he's been playing really well as of late, specifically last week.
Well, he had 202 receiving yards in one game.
That's a good goal for a lot of receivers to, you know, shoot for.
It reminded me of, do you remember when Kenny Mayne used to do SportsCenter?
Yeah.
And, like, Albert Bell would hit a home run, and he'd be like, and that's Albert Bell's 43rd home run. Not of this game. That would be a record or something, you know, and that always was funny. And that's like, yeah, Adam Thielen had 202 receiving yards. Not in this game. That would be, you know, amazing. No, actually, in this game. Right. He had 202 receiving yards in this one game against the Packers. So that was pretty cool. Now, he's 40 yards shy of 1,000 for the season. Last time we had a 1,000-yard receiver, Sidney Rice, 2009, he had 1,300. Adam will likely not get to 1,300. If he does, he will set some sort of
record.
That
would be a record something.
He will set a record, but Adam can very well get to the 1,000-yard mark for the first time since 09 for a Viking, and there's a shot that Diggs does as well, and we would have two 1,000-yard receivers. And that hasn't happened since Carter and Moss did it, so that would be awesome. And I hope this happens. I anticipate Adam will be playing in the game and we'll play the whole game. And I think Sam's going to play. And so I want Sam to get the completion percentage record and I want Adam to get to 1,000 yards. That'd be cool.
It'd almost be a surprise. I'm going to jinx him right now, but it'd almost be a surprise if he didn't.
Yeah, kind of.
Get to 1,000 yards.
40 receiving yards. I mean, he had a 71-yard catch last week.
Right. Yeah, just do one of those. Right. Take care of it. Then you don't have to worry about it at all.
Right. First play of the game?
Yeah.
That'd be awesome. Okay.
Fan mail.
Mm-hmm.
My question is from the Green Bay game. In the take-give differential, we had two fumbles lost, so that's -2.
Yeah.
Does the onside kick recovery figure into that number so that we would technically only be at -1?
Yeah. I thought this was a good question. No is the answer. It does not. So we were -2 in the take-give.
Because it wouldn't be considered a turnover.
Right. Right. It's because not a turnover.
Green Bay never had the ball.
Right. But what's interesting about this is... in the overtime rule in the NFL, where it's not sudden death, each team has the opportunity to possess the ball unless the team that receives the ball first scores a touchdown.
Right.
If the team that receives the ball first does not score a touchdown but does kick a field goal, the other team gets possession. Okay. Well, if you are beginning overtime and you are kicking off and you onside kick it and recover it, you win the game if you kick a field goal on your first possession.
That's a rule?
Yep.
Okay.
Because in overtime, it's every team receives the opportunity to possess the ball.
So that and opportunity kickoff, is recovering the onside kick.
An onside kick is an opportunity for both teams to possess the ball. If the onside kicking team possesses it, the receiving team's possession is over. Opportunity to possess it is over. Yours has just begun, and so now it's sudden death. Thought that was so. That's why I wanted that question in there. Kind of an interesting twist on the rules. I don't know if a team has opened overtime with an onside kick yet or not in the 3 years that the overtime rule has been in effect. But I would love to see it. It'd be a cool idea, and I don't know that anyone would expect it.
It takes some guts.
Except now they are expecting it because all the head coaches listen to the Wobcast, right. And now they know that it might be coming.
Right. So, question number two, coaches, listen up, is why not move Cordero Patterson to running back, or at least use him out of the backfield more? He runs hard, and he's had success running the ball before. He would see much better matchups on passing downs as well. I also liked how he's become a team player this season, a special team stud, gunner, and returner. Yes. Cordero Patterson has put together a pretty fun season.
He has, and he worked hard in the offseason, got a lot of praise from Zimmer and Spielman, and then had a quality season in the regular season, and you love to see that follow through and follow up.
So should we put him in the backfield?
I don't think we should put him in the backfield as a running back, but I'm open to him being in the backfield on occasion more.
Ty Montgomery can do it.
I know, and that's why this question came in, and I got a few of them. You know, hey, Ty Montgomery, the Packers are doing it with Ty Montgomery. Why don't we do it? I think they're different situations. Montgomery and Patterson are different players. I think Patterson's made a lot of progress as a receiver. And again, I'm not opposed to him being in the backfield from time to time to get some carries, but I don't think you want to ask him to be a full-time running back. You've already asked him to learn the wide receiver position, and he's starting to make progress to that end, and so why discontinue that progress? So I like the idea, the creativity, and I like the idea of putting him back there from time to time, but not as a full-time running back. Just me.
Also, one thing about Ty Montgomery is that the systems are probably totally different, but he did the same kind of thing at Stanford in college.
Right. Yeah, different
players. He lined up in the backfield quite a bit.
They are different players.
three threats for this final game of the 2016 season.
Mm-hmm.
The first threat, we're playing the Bears, so the first threat's going to be Alshon Jeffrey.
Yes. Possibility this is the last time that he is a threat for the Bears for us.
That's
he's a free agent.
That is possible.
He played under the franchise tag this year, and he is an unrestricted free agent as of March 9th of 2017. Alshon Jeffrey had four catches for 63 yards and a touchdown against us in Week 8. He had five catches for 92 yards last week. Against the Vikings, he has seven touchdowns, three triple-digit receiving yard games, and three double-digit receiving reception games against us in his career. So that includes 10 catches for 116 yards and a touchdown last season. And in 2013, he had 12 catches for 249 yards and two touchdowns. So that's why he's a threat, because he's really good all the time, including against us.
Second threat is Jordan Howard, the rookie this season. He played well. He had that one long run against
69
us
yards
early
against
in the game.
Yep.
We could never really, you know, recover from
that. No, we didn't. And he didn't have just one good run, and that was it. He had 153 rushing yards in that game, plus a touchdown on 26
Don't worry,
carries.
Vikings fans. He's been doing it to everybody, not just us.
Yeah, he had 18 for 119 last week against the Redskins. So got to watch out for him. We had Pete Bursich break down some game film of the Bears in TCO Studios at Winter Park earlier in the week for Vikings game plan. He talked a lot about Jordan Howard and left guard Josh Sitton and center Cody Whitehair. And so they can get it going in the running game if you don't watch out for it.
The third threat you talked about a little bit before, Pernell McPhee.
Yeah. Leonard Floyd is young and good. Willie Young is explosive pass rusher guy. And Akeem Hicks is versatile power into speed guy. But Pernell McPhee is a little bit of everything. He's kind of like the complete package up front for the Bears defense. He's on the injury report. Did not practice Wednesday or Thursday, so he may not play in this game. Godspeed in the recovery to Pernell McPhee. We don't want anyone to be hurt, but we also don't want to play against Pernell McPhee. So if he didn't play in this game, that'd be fine with me. But if he does, he's one of the Bears' top three threats.
Should one of these threats be Matt Barkley?
Maybe. He actually is throwing the ball okay. Now, he did have a bunch of turnovers last week against the Redskins. A couple of them weren't his fault. When he's given time to sit in a comfortable, open pocket, he can dagger you. He can, as John Gruden would say, he can shred you.
Ah.
If you give him time, he can shred you. But we don't plan on giving him time. Our defensive line is playing awesome right now, and we hope that they continue to do so.
Right, in your meeting with Mike Zimmer
right
before this, he told you
that's
they don't plan on giving him time.
Right, that's what he said.
It's nice that he gives you that information.
Yeah, it is. He's such a nice guy.
He is.
And by the way, we had our last game plan taping this week, of which Mike Zimmer takes part in, and Coach Zimmer was great all season on Vikings game plan. So we thank him for that. He's been awesome to work with over the last 3 years. We hope that he and his team can finish the season on a positive note with a victory over the Bears. That's all I got, man. Anything
that's it
for you?
No, that's it.
Okay.
It's the last one this season.
It is. It's the last regular season Wobcast, but the Wobcasts will roll on. We'll have more of an open format, though, once the season is over, so please submit your ideas to us via Twitter or via my email inbox. If you don't know what that is, you should go to the Monday Morning Mailbag because you will find it there. I would say what it is right now, but there's no way you'd remember it because my name is weird. And
right, and the internet doesn't really work that way.
Right.
You can't hear something and then have it be like typed into an email.
Right, so you just got to go to the Monday Morning Mailbag and find it.
Right.
So that's it for this edition of the Wobcast. It's over. The Vikings play the Bears on Sunday. Kickoff is at noon. The Vikings Radio Network will have the call. Paul Allen, Pete Bursich, Greg Coleman, and Ben Lieber will bring you the action. Mike Musselman hosts the pregame show at 10 o'clock. Vikings Game Day Live on MyFox 9 locally here in Minnesota. That also begins at 10 o'clock, so make sure you check that out if you haven't yet done so. Also, download the Vikings app. Most of you are probably listening right now via the app, but for those of you who are not, go download the Vikings app onto your phone. All of our content delivered straight to your favorite mobile device.
And don't just delete it after the season's over.
Please don't.
It doesn't take up that much space on your phone.
No.
And, you know, there's going to be all kinds of updates.
Well,
you know, we got the combine coming up.
Yes.
We have the draft.
Senior Bowl.
The draft happens every year, I promise you.
Right.
That's how that works.
Yes.
There's all kinds of things that happen every year, not during the season. So you're going to want to keep that app handy.
Push notifications, all that stuff. Basically, the order of events is going to go Senior Bowl, Pro Bowl, combine, free agency, draft, off-season program, mini camps, training camp. And all you get all that information via the app.
Yep, and like you said, push notifications. So when you get your five-year, $113 million extension, Wabi, that will be probably pushed to the Vikings fan base.
Yeah, and everyone will scratch their heads and wonder what the hell's happening.
So you can look forward to that, Vikings fans.
Right. All right, that's it, y'all. Thanks for listening. Talk to you next time. Bye. So, yeah!